As we celebrate this feast of all the saints, what does our Lord have in store for us in this particular moment? You recall what it is that we celebrate, why we celebrate this feast day. Do you remember the story which I've shared with you, I think, on a number of occasions? Why we have the Feast of All Saints. You recall? Does Fabian recall? Nobody else does. It's too early in the morning, he says. The Feast of All the Saints. We celebrate this feast day because way back in the early centuries of the church, you can recall that the church had just emerged from having to worship in secret, having to fear that at every moment she was about to be destroyed and have to testify to her faith by martyrdom. But yet, after the peace of Constantine, the church began to live in her freedom and began conquering Rome, not by force of fighting and of swords, but rather by force of faith and charism and power of the Holy Spirit, being soldiers for Christ within this world. As a result of that, the pagan forces and all the gods of the heathens, which St. Paul reminds us are heathens, began to flee and take cover. What did that mean? It meant that all those old places of pagan worship, particularly even within the city of Rome, began to become abandoned. People began noticing in these great places in the center of the great city of Rome that, particularly here within the center of Rome, that all sorts of strange shrieks, cold, frigid breezes, even in the midst of the heat of summer, would come about. And they began fearing entering into these interior places in the city of Rome, particularly around a particular temple by the name of Pantheon. In that place with the Pantheon, this great monstrous work of Roman architecture, the likes of which even caused those today to marvel at how it was constructed, and this big round structure began to run away from that place. Children would no longer play within the streets because they feared the evil that seemed to be hovering all around this place of Pantheon. What was the Pantheon dedicated to? Pantheon is a word, Greek word, meaning two words slammed together, meaning pan all. Theon is from the same word we have for theos or dios, which is God. It's a place where all the so-called gods, which of the heathens are not but demons, they are where they were to be worshipped. Here within this particular place, all those demonic forces seem to be rallying around and frightening the people. They went to the Pope, who was now the one who was seen to oversee all of Rome and give it strength and vigor because he is Christ's vicar here on earth, called out to him and asked for him for help. What do you think he did? That's right. He went there not merely to pray, though. He went there to drive out the forces of darkness. And so he began with his whole retinue gathering the seven deacons of the Church of Rome together and an entire retinue to make procession, which normally would take you even today but 10 minutes to walk that distance between St. Peter's Basilica and the Pantheon in the center of Rome. It began with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord, preparing to drive out the forces of darkness. And there, after many exorcisms and consecrating that place, not destroying it or raising it to the ground as they would have done in the times of the Maccabees to destroy the works of evil, but here the Christians, seeing their power was so much stronger given by Christ himself, repurposed that place. Rather than tearing it down stone by stone, this time consecrated to God, placing it under the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and also dedicating it to the place where all the evil ones were worshipped, all the false gods were worshipped, now only the one God, and so it was dedicated to all the saints. That's why we celebrate the feast today, recognizing that that which was once turned over to all the demon gods, now under one God, is a place where we give thanks to God for all the many saints which go unknown. When you walk out in these early morning hours as twilight is given rise to dawn, when you look up into the sky, you see how many stars there, how they're countless, how they're innumerable. And so you can look up and see that in the same way, so are the saints. So are the saints of God, particularly the saints of God who we know not their names because the church cannot in any way go through the process of canonizing them. That doesn't mean that God cannot. And so as we look at the vast expanse that goes before us within the sky, we recognize, as what it says within the scriptures, that the souls of the just are in the hands of the Lord, and they are as countless as the skies. They burn with brightness far outweighing the light of any sun, which it would exist in any far or distant galaxy. For such is the beauty which God has in each and every human soul, which has been redeemed and dedicated to himself. That's what we celebrate today. When you and I go before the Lord, recognize this, that we do not go before him as ones who worship God by ourselves, but as the book of the Apocalypse, which was a part of the first reading which we have here, the Protestants call it the book of Revelation. But in that book of Apocalypse, what do we find there? We find that the prayers of the saints are taken up, the prayers of the holy ones are taken up from you and me as incense, as it rises up to God. In the same way, It is carried by our angels, who are constantly in heaven doing nothing but worshiping God, as you see there within the book of the Apocalypse. That's what's in store for you and me. And all we have to do is but remain true to the one purpose for which God created us. As Fabian is only just barely waking up right now, I won't even begin to ask the rest of you that why it is that God made us. But what is it for? To know, to love, and to serve him right now within this life. Why? So that you and I can be truly happy. And the only way that is possible is if we make it to heaven. One of the great men of the church said that the only tragedy that could ever be in life is that one would not become a saint. If you do not become a saint, that is the greatest tragedy the world has ever known. Because it is the only tragedy the world ever knows. Because anybody who does not become a saint is the opposite, has become a denizen of hell. A saint is one who dwells with God forever. A saint is one who is holy. A saint is one who is caught up into the heavens. And that is for which you and I have been made. The great grace is that even if we do not end this life in perfection, even if we do not testify to our life as do the so many countless martyrs of the church who are the great honor of the church and a great credit to our race, that tomorrow we celebrate the feast of those difuntos, those holy ones who have passed on, who we continue to pray for. In fact, this Mass is also being offered for many defunct souls who have died in Christ, we please. Over the course of this day, it would behoove you to take some time to meditate upon one of the particular saints, maybe to call to mind your own patron saint, your the one on whose birthday you were born, what feast day that was, to remind yourself of that saint who you were dedicated to on the day of your baptism, to think about those saints who you have had special friendship over the course of this life, that saint who you were dedicated to on the day of your confirmation or your ordination to the diaconate or the priesthood, when you yourself receive those blessed orders of entering into religious life. Ponder those ones who have special protection over you and how the Lord has entrusted you and have called out to you, for so the saints are as innumerable as the stars of the sky. And so when you go before the Lord today, recognize that you go to him not alone, but you have so many countless witnesses who witness there alongside you that they desire you to accomplish that purpose for which you were made. The saints are not selfish, as are the demons, nor as are those maybe who you interact with day by day who think that if you succeed, that somehow it lessens their greatness. No. Every saint desires you to make it there all the more because they know the more family members make it, the greater is their happiness. On this day, let us take great rejoicing in the countless numbers who have made it and who will make it by the intercession of those who have already accomplished their task on earth. For on the morrow, we pray for those who are not yet there, but will still be. We have Mass at 7 a.m. And again, if you wish to journey with us to Fort Sumner, to have Mass again at 5 p.m. We'll have Mass at 7:15 p.m. in Melrose in the traditional form if you would like to go after each of those. After the Mass in the morning, we will go and bless the cemetery and pray for those who are there. And we will pray before in Fort Sumner at 4 o'clock for those souls who have not yet made it as we bless that Campo Santo, that field of saints which we have. Every day, beginning today, you have the opportunity to gain that plenary indulgence. And so, if you are not in the state of grace, if you desire to gain that indulgence, Father will go immediately at the conclusion of this Mass to the confessional to hear those confessions, and your penance all month long will be nothing other than this, to make a visit to the cemetery, so that that opportunity that you have will not be lost. Just by a single visit to the cemetery, one soul can be liberated from purgatory and set free to enjoy God's goodness for all eternity. Not only are there many saints in heaven, but you and I have the ability to increase their numbers just by visiting cemeteries during this time. Let us make good on what the Lord has offered for us, to set free souls free to enter into heaven, and then, like them, to join their ranks when the Lord calls us home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.